Hey everybody, Stephen here from The Truth About Dyslexia. In today's episode, I want to talk about confidence and what it really takes to build a confident life when you have neurodiversity like dyslexia or ADHD. I'm going to talk a little bit about why this is an important episode for me to record today when we're in it. So, hey, let's get in the door and let's go. Okay, confidence. Now, this is a big topic. You know, I think every podcast that is on personal development touches on it at some point. We've touched on it multiple times, the grand we. Did you guys ever say that, like we, when you actually just mean I? I think it's a confidence thing. Like, I think it's like, if I say we, it kind of means that it's not, I'm not having to own what I'm saying. Sometimes I'm kind of using this grand we. And it's just how my mind works. I say it more than I should, I think, or more than I need to. But I have spoken about this before, and I really care about the topic. It's probably the biggest challenge I see across dyslexia. We used to run a course called The Confident Dyslexic years gone by, just mainly because it's such a challenge. When you've got neurodiversity, it's not something specific to us. Like, neurodiverse people are not the only ones with our confidence or having issues with confidence. But it seems that we sometimes have different reasons of why it has appeared. And there's just a few more things. And, you know, the reason I wanted to bring it up today is I had a really great session with Andre Kenny, who's the, practitioner I'm working with. There's a link on truthaboutdyslexia.com to her now. I've popped it up there because people were asking me, how do we get in touch with her? So have a little look. But the session really dug into confidence. And I'm always really open with you as my audience about what I go into. And, you know, through this practice we did and through talking out some of my past, because confidence is never, it's always a weird one. I don't think anyone ever goes, I want to sort out my confidence levels. Maybe we do to a point, but it's usually there's some trigger or something you're trying to sort out. So for me, my big thing this year I've spoken about is health, weight loss, getting sorted in that realm. And like, I've been toying with taking Ozempic and some of those new drugs that are out. But at the same time, whether I do that or not, I want to make sure that I don't miss working on my own psychology. Because there's no point on a lot of these, like, we all kind of wish there was a miracle drug for everything that just solved it all. But whatever you take, there's always still a psychological piece. So if I don't fix that, doesn't matter what else I do, I'll never be able to, you know, really, you know, get to where I want to be. So, and that's really important to me. I want to do it right. So we started talking about that and digging deeper into my health side of things. We dug into my past. You know, when I was young, I moved overseas from New Zealand. My dad had a job in Saudi Arabia, crazy enough. He was in the banking industry. He moved over there for 3 or 4 years. And I know I had a lot of issues when I moved over there because, you know when something new happens, something massive, like a massive shift in a job, or, you know, you have to move cities, especially when it's out of your control, because if you're neurodiverse like me, none of us seem remarkably fantastic with control issues. Like, we all feel a lot, from what I've seen, majority of us feel a lot safer when we have some control. unless you've done a lot of work to release that. And even then, I still think we have some underlying control issues. So I really struggled when I was young, didn't really understand why we were moving so far away. Why would you move so far away just for money? Didn't really make sense to me. And so I used food as a crutch. And so that's where we kind of started down this process. And we dug deeper, you know, using her practices that Andre teaches and runs with. And we got to a point, and this is the value of whatever therapy you do, however you talk, whatever you discuss, is that you don't always know what the underlying root cause is. Now, I've sometimes struggled to put myself forward into therapy because I know something needs to change, but I can't put a word to it, or I can't put my finger on exactly what needs to change. And there's a part of me that feels like I have to know that before I talk to someone, which I'm very conscious makes no sense. But for some reason, that's what holds me back. And so in the session, we started out and we just talked through a bunch of stuff. But what happened was, what it unearthed a bit was that some of the challenges I'd had with my father around, which had affected my confidence. You know, my dad, love him dearly. I know more about him. If you've heard some of my older podcasts, I talk a bit about, you know, when I worked out he was neurodiverse and explaining to him about it and the penny dropping for him of what it all meant. There was like a huge aha moment that he had throughout that. And he knew, you know, we both knew that probably both my mum and my dad are neurodiverse. You know, my dad's probably a little bit more ADHD, autistic side. My mum's probably more ADHD, dyslexic, in that space. But they both had their challenges. You can imagine such a fiery family. My dad being more introverted, my mum being more extroverted, hilariously. So it's a real interesting mixture. And so we dug a bit deeper into the time when we went overseas and how my dad coped, because, you know, I learned a lot of my food practices and my learnings from, you learn them from your parents, right? So I watched him, and he used food to soothe. So when I was there, that's what I did. They thought they were being good to us by taking us out to eat and to do all this stuff. And I at the time thought nothing of it at all. And it was just a tool to use, or it was just something that made me feel good. And so we got into that from a health point of view, which was good. But then also how my father, because he didn't really understand himself, you know, he was never a violent man. I was very lucky in that respect. Never hit us as far as I can remember. But he was very good at verbally with words, and he had a way with words that would really, make me feel like I didn't know what I was talking about. You know, he was somebody who, and I've also mentioned this a bit, is many of us with dyslexia or ADHD or any of those neurodiversities, we're very good at sometimes finding the answers to stuff at school. You know, like I always remember at school, I could come up with the answer to a math problem or potentially even a English problem sometimes, like an actual answer to a question that was perfectly right, but I couldn't explain how I worked it out or how I knew it. And this is really clear. Maths is probably the clearest one for me, is that I could say, oh, the answer to that long question is 35, and it would be the right answer. And the teacher would go, how did you work that out? And I'd be like, I don't know. My brain told me the answer. I don't know the workings. And so the teacher would kind of come back to you and say, well, did you cheat? Because they couldn't fathom how my brain could process that, but I couldn't see the process. And that's a really big penny drop. If you haven't heard that before, it's massive with neurodiversity. I see it a lot with dyslexics, is they're brilliant at coming up with the answers, but can't always justify them. And this was a challenge in hindsight of my dad's. Like, you know, a lot of the time when I was growing up, you know, if we had a problem, we talked about it as a family. It didn't happen all the time, but when it did, he would tell you what to do. He wouldn't explain why you should do it that way or his thinking or his working. He didn't have that kind of social communication skill very well. It was just, listen to me, I know what's right. That kind of zone. And so, you know, for a lot of my life, he'd say that. And then being also a neurodiverse kid who wanted to find his own way, and if my dad didn't explain himself, I'd kind of sometimes go against what he said. You know, kids don't do that, do they? Or was that just me? I'm presuming it wasn't. But I'd go against what he said. I'd want to be rebellious, is that the word? But when he was right, he'd continuously say, I told you so. You should always listen to me. Listen to what I say. Now, whether I did or not, doesn't matter. But when you're told that all your life, you should listen to me. Listen to what I've got to say. You start to doubt yourself. You start to go, well, Dad was right. Dad always seems to be right. I seem to be wrong. And like in hindsight, I wasn't, you know, a lot of the decisions I made, some of them probably were based on my, you know, youthful exuberance and limited knowledge. And some of it was just me trying to do the opposite of what my dad said because I wanted to be the one who made the decision. Do you know what I mean? And so, but over time, there's a narrative or a story in my head that says, I don't know what I'm talking about, or I'm not quite there, I'm not right. Does that make sense? Like that, there's an underlying, you know, piece there that's just not working for me. It's not really helping me. And it's not even something that's conscious, but it's something that's there. And it's not like my dad did that on purpose, but there's a lot of side effects, right, to how we all operate, how we deal with things like this. And so for me, yeah, like it's a real eye opener, you know, in my confidence that is something that's underlying it. And I know, you know, if you've listened to the previous podcasts, knowing about neurodiversity has brought me and my dad a lot closer together. We understand each other better. I understand his communication style much better. And so I don't hold like conscious animosity to him. But that doesn't mean that patterns of the past haven't been built up due to it. And me thinking, hey, we're in a good relationship now, doesn't mean it solved everything. Does that make sense? And I think, you know, realizing that and starting to work through this, you know, not having confidence in yourself, you know, leads to anxiety and uncertainty, right? It's massive. And I've kind of worked through a lot of the dyslexia, the ADHD challenges of not feeling good enough in that respect. Like that work is really, really important. And if you haven't done some work with somebody like Andre or anybody in that respect, any therapist, hopefully somebody who understands it is usually going to be very much more valuable, because they'll understand how you think and why. But it's so valuable to go through this stuff. And for so many years, like, I just think we're all like onions, right? Where you have to keep on peeling these layers to get right to the heart of it. And I think, you know, if you can make that work in your head, if you can get it together, then I think, you know, the world is your oyster. And it was a really good reminder this morning, because I never thought we'd be talking about confidence. It was about weight, health, why do I eat too much? You know, I've done the gene test, I've done all this stuff. It's got to be something that's up on the surface level. And then this pops up, really emotively, like it felt like a weight in my stomach, like I feel like it's been holding me down. And we've only just scratched the surface of it, but we're going to keep working on it in our sessions. Because I'm aware now that that's such a massive, you know, piece I need to work on to become better and to move forward. Because, like, I feel like a lot of the surface stuff is all working well, and the things that I need to push forward with are below the surface. And they're the stuff that are uncomfortable to talk about, the stuff that you have to actually be a bit vulnerable about and speak your truth. It's not always easy. It's not always simple. It's not the nice stuff. And so, you know, when it comes to your confidence, I challenge you, you know, do you even know, maybe you don't feel confident in a lot of situations. Do you know why? Is it surface level? Because there's heaps of stuff that can help you there. Is it something deeper? Is it, you know, below the surface? Do you need to speak to someone who can help you unearth what it is? Because you don't, you know, it's not always the clearest thing. And it's, you know, I like to think I know everything about myself, but realistically, the answer is I don't. So, you know, what can you do with it? But hopefully that's got you thinking. That's me sharing from the heart, from my neurodiverse life. It's good to get that out. Hope you've got some value from it. You can find out more about Andre's work on truthaboutdyslexia.com, and have an epic rest of your day.